Fedheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 84, Oktoberfest 2.0. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We're broadcast live around the world on CigarFederation.com, picked up on YouTube and every podcast app in the world. Thanks very much for all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners, wherever you're stationed in the world. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Robbie Grass. Rob, what's going on tonight, brother?
Just hanging out, man.
Yeah.
I'm done with all my beers. I'm just going to have to tell you guys about them.
I was going to start drinking because all technology everywhere decided to fail tonight simultaneously, which generally doesn't happen. We usually only have one or two failures, but everything failed at once tonight.
Well, I will say this, and I'm going to get crap for saying this, though. My wife said something about, and she's not really into this stuff, but like Jupiter is in retrograde or something, and it has something to do with like,
wonder.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that means like all communication and stuff has been jacked for like the last month. So I'm going with Jupiter was in retrograde and it jacked our business.
Way to screw it up for everyone, Jupiter. Thank you. And of course, that face that you see down there who chuckled at Rob was, of course, our guest tonight, special guest, Terrence Riley. Terrence, thanks very much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
I'm probably going to get this wrong, but we had, is it your uncle, Manolo?
Yeah. My uncle, yes.
So he was on Cigar Chat last week. And I tell you what, that was one of those shows where I could have asked him a question and sat there for 5 hours and just listened to him talk about tobacco and been absolutely on the edge of my seat the entire time.
He's got a lot of information. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's probably forgotten more than I know. So he's always a great guy to have around because there's so many stories and so much, and just an hour he can only scratch the surface. So I'm glad you enjoyed having him.
Yeah, it was a blast, and I totally agree. I mean, I'm sure he's forgotten today what I'll know in a lifetime of tobacco. So yeah, it was a heck of an experience. So of course, we're have you back. This is I feel like this is the third time we've had you on the show, not the second time, but maybe it's only
I've
second
been on time. Yeah, third time because we did
the kegs
as well.
That's right.
Yeah, so this is our third one. This is our second annual Oktoberfest show. Hopefully we can keep going 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Because this is one of my favorite shows of the year.
Tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of my favorite shows. I'm smoking the Das Brauhaus. Is that how you say
it? Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Nailed it. The 2016. And it's right on par with the 15, man. That the 2015, I said this a bunch of times. I didn't do a top 10 last year. I really don't know why I didn't do one, but I didn't. And if I did, that would have been my cigar of the year. And this one has, and this is the Nicaraguan blend. We'll get into that. But this one has just as much flavor. I'm curious what's different. I think it's probably just the vintage of the wrapper, right?
Yeah, vintage of the wrapper. That's the only difference we make on these.
Yeah, it's just a phenomenal blend. And I know you do the Nicaraguan two sizes. We'll get into all that. But, you know, John, you're smoking. Speaking of vintage, you're going back a few years with yours.
Yeah, so I was down in Vegas, and as luck would have it, I timed the trip to Vegas wrong because the week after I left, all the Oktoberfests hit all the stores there, and I'm like, of course they hit the store the moment I leave. So I was like, well, I know I have a lot of Oktoberfest stuff in my humidor, so I went rummaging and pulled out one of these bad boys. So this goes, yeah. So I was like, you know, I was trying to do the decoding thing, right, because it doesn't have the date on it. And of course,
it's
Terrence right away.
13, because that's a bellicose, right?
That's right. So as I understand it, this is the 12. So this goes back to 2012. Now, I think there was only 500 boxes of these produced. Is that right?
Yeah, that year there was only 500 of that particular size. That was the first year we made that size, 2012, and we only made 500 that year.
So this is it's been sitting in my humidor resting since early 2013. I won this from a contest on Reddit. There's a guy named Mr. Steph, and it was a best cigar photo and sort of outrageous cigar photo. And way back in the day, I did a review where I was doing three cigars and then two cigars. I said, well, I'm going to smoke all three at once. And I did. And I put all three cigars in my mouth at the same time and took a photo. And so he sent me this for contest winning, and it's just been obviously waiting till tonight to smoke. So I'm glad I have it, and it's a little piece of history there. So
yeah, that's cool. Sorry, I was muted there. My dogs are flipping out. Somebody must be knocking at my door. I'm not there to answer it, so they're going to have to go away. Well, yeah, so Terrence, tell us about the 2016, because like I said, I'm smoking the Nicaraguan blend. I believe it's in two different sizes, and there's the Dominican blend as well.
Yeah, so this year, again, just to give a general synopsis, every year we do the Oktoberfest. It comes out towards the end of August and at the end of November. It's a seasonal edition we've done since 2011, and every year we tweak it a little bit in various ways. The blend is always the same, except the wrapper is from a different vintage, different crop year. So it creates a little bit of variation, of course, but you're always in the same ballpark. But of course, that does also, you know, create nuance that is part of the fun of determining which year is your favorite and what tastes the best and all that kind of thing. This particular year, we did a couple new sizes. We did two sizes in the Nicaraguan version. The new size is the triple box, which is a 6x56. And the other size is the same size we did last year, which is the Das Brauhaus, which Rob is smoking. And in the Dominican line, we did a box press version of the Das Boot, and the Kugel, which is Kugel in German means bullet. And it's a perfecto, that's shaped kind of like a high caliber, you know, round.
Now, as I understand it, discussing with Manolo, he said he was originally pretty resistant to some of the packaging for the Oktoberfest and keg style, but obviously you won him over because I love the stylish packaging. I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah, he's changed a lot. He's become much more open to a lot of things, and he likes a lot of things that previously he might not have liked. But earlier in my years with the company, inclined to do these kind of eclectic things. So for him, beers with cigars was kind of a new idea to begin with. He was used to kind of scotch or rums or bourbons or whatever, cognac. So it was that in itself was a new concept. And then, you know, putting the beers on the box and everything, he just kind of thought that was bizarre. But to his credit, he let me do it. And it's been a success for us. And again, it's also, he's gotten more into beer since then. He's big into Belgians. He likes a lot of the Belgian quads and things like that. So it's interesting how he's evolved in terms of not really being into beer at all. And now, you know, being able to hold a conversation about him.
And he jumped right into the Belgian quads too, man. He's not messing around.
You know, it's funny. He same thing with cigars. For years, he smoked the Fonseca 799, which is just about the mildest cigar you can smoke. It's just, if you have your first time smoker, it's a great cigar. He smoked those for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden now he smokes heavy cigars. It's funny. Yeah. He kind of goes full board into things. Once he likes something, he jumps right in. He doesn't tiptoe around.
If you're going to get wet, you may as well swim, right? That's what they say. So I'm about, I don't know, 3/4 inch in on this thing. It burns really great. This is a lot smoother, I think, or smoking a bit smoother. Last year had a little bit more of a spice to it. This one, if memory serves, but this one is really, really smooth. Nice, rich, earthy tones, not overpowering in flavor, but it's got real nice flavor to it. And I haven't really been pairing much. I've been pairing with my first beer. I'm eager to get to my third beer because I feel like that's going to be the best pairing of the night for me. But, so far, so good on this on the Das Brauhaus 2016. John, should we jump into our first pairing here? Oh, sorry, Terrence. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just to your point. I was going to agree. Like the reason we did the Nicaraguans was to have them be a little heavier to pair with some higher gravity stuff. Mm-hmm. And last year they were stronger. This year they don't seem to be as strong as they were last year. They have a little bit more. They're just as rich, but you know, smoother. And it seems the Dominicans are stronger this year. So, but part of the fun of all this is to, you know. Every time I do an event, some guy comes up to me and says, oh, 2016, this is the best year. 2015, that was my favorite year. 2012 was the best year. You know, kind of determining what year is your favorite year and trying them each year and pairing them. And that's just, you know, part of the whole experience, I think. But onto the pairings, I just wanted to throw that in.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, John, let's do it.
Yeah, I've been cheating the entire time. In fact, I was drinking while I was working on my technology issues. So, you know, here we go.
Maybe that explains your technology issues.
Yeah, maybe. They started before I was drinking. That's my excuse. So this is the Eyinger, and I saw this on the shelf, and I thought, well, I mean, this is perfect for tonight. The authentic Bavarian Dark Weizen. Oh, what do you got, Terrence? Boom,
yeah,
there
right
he is. And he's got you've got the genuine article, the Oktoberfest. I did not get that, but. So this is 5.8%. Of course, like a lot of breweries, they go back. They don't go back as far as some of the other breweries, 1877, but they brew 120,000 US barrels a year, which is a lot. And this is their dark Weizen. So instead of being a light beer, it's got a little bit more body to it, a lot of more malty quality. They say it's got a fruity tart quality with the hints of orange. I do get the orange. For me, I'm kind of in my happy place already. Like if all I could do tonight was smoke that 2012 and this Eyinger, I'd be good. Like this is a great pairing right out of the gate because the Eyinger has enough body for me and enough flavor complexity without overpowering the cigar. It's kind of what I want in an Oktoberfest pairing. So far so good, but I'll let you guys, Rob, if you want to talk about your first pairing there.
Yeah, I'll jump in. So John, you went with more classic styles. I stayed domestic and kind of a new school approach. I'm going to start off with the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. And I think they only started doing Oktoberfest last year, and they do it every year. It's every year, and they just started last year. Each time they do it in a collaboration with a different brewery. This is with – I'm going to do my best here. There's an umlaut in the name, so bear with me. I think it's just Mars Brow. It's M-A-H-R-S and then Brow. So, and they were established in 1670 in Bamberg, Germany. So it's kind of a new school approach with an old school tie-in, if you will. The lightest of color on mine, on this one. I mean, this really is, I mean, it almost.
I can't say the color is very appealing.
Yeah, it has, you know, I'm being tested for steroids kind of thing, kind of look. Just be happy it's not cloudy. So a little bit of the specs.
Like Brock Lesnar's.
Yeah, a little bit of specs on the beer. I'm not going to go too much into Sierra Nevada. You guys have all heard of Sierra Nevada. They've been around for a while. 6% alcohol by volume. 30 IBUs, which is a little bit surprising, actually, based on the flavor. The lager yeast, bittering hops. They're using German Magnum and Palisade. And finishing hops, German Record, Sapphire, and Crystal. It's a lot of hops in here, actually. Malts, two-row pale, Pilsner Munich, and Vienna malts. It's got a really interesting flavor to it by comparison of the three beers that I'm going to have tonight. It's the lightest in flavor. It's the lightest in color. It's the lightest in body. And really, the color maturation of the three pairs that I have here is very congruent with the increased intensity in body and flavor. But this is really approachable. It doesn't really strike me as an Oktoberfest beer, really. It's got that malty notes on there. I'm getting some fruit out of it from the pairing that I wasn't really getting before. The pairing's nice, though. That little bit of a fruit aspect that I'm getting from the beer, almost, it's kind of like an orange blossom, maybe. Not quite an orange rind or orange, like an intense orange flavor, just more of an aroma type type flavor, but really, really nice. The pairing is going pretty well. I think the cigar overpowers it a little bit, but not too much. I'm still getting a little bit of the flavor out of it. It's a good pairing, but I feel like the night's going to keep getting better. What are you going with, Terrence?
I have the Eyinger as well, the Oktoberfest, to piggyback on John's comments. I couldn't agree. I think that's like a perfect pairing for this cigar. Again, I love U.S. style beers and the stuff that we've done and the innovative things on. But when you want a traditional style, I like it to taste the way it's supposed to and not go off course too much. And this is just the perfect pairing. I think the ABV is perfect. Just complement each other so well. Perfect amount of. The Sierra Nevada, again, I'll let you know, as you go along, decide. I didn't think it was a bad beer or anything. I just guessed that's, to me, not really an Oktoberfest. That's a beer that's a German variant that tastes good but wasn't, you know, wasn't what I'm looking for when I want an Oktoberfest. So I'm going with the classic pairing initially. And so far I can't think it could be any better.
Yeah. I'll totally agree with your comments on the Sierra Nevada. It's good and it's an enjoyable beer, but it's almost like, it's like an Oktoberfest breakfast beer. You know, it's just a little
it's
a little bit lighter. I mean, it's got the same kind of malty tones and it's almost a subdued Oktoberfest of training wheels, whatever you want to say. But it has nice flavor to it. And the pairing, like I said, is pretty solid. It's not great. I feel like I'm losing a little bit of the beer. And I mean, frankly, I'm kind of okay with it. It's a very approachable beer. And I mean, I would have it again. I think my wife would really like it. It's lighter. It's kind of crisp. A little bit heavy though. You know, I mean, especially when you get into these, at least for me, when I get into these Oktoberfest beers, heavy as far as I start to feel full, you know?
Got to be quick on that mic button, on the mute button.
Did I? Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Watch out for the belches. The belch button is in full effect tonight.
Yep. Just want to remind our audience, you're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 84, Oktoberfest 2.0. Our special guest, Terrence Riley of Quesada. This show is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, manufacturers of the world's finest cigars. You can try the new 93-rated Heritage cigar today at your local shop or pick up a sampler and find one that's right for you. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Robbie Rass, and we're pairing some delicious Oktoberfest beers. I'm not sure what the body of that Iyinger is for you, Terrence, but I mean, you know, talking about again, you're talking about the balance, and like for me, it's like a cigar. When you get a nice draw on a cigar and you get a really satisfying mouthfeel of smoke, that's what the body and the Iyingers is for me. It's just that perfect amount of beer. You know, it's like a creamy, thick beer, not too thick, and the flavor is just balanced enough to not overpower the cigar. And I'm going to be sad to move on from it, frankly.
Yeah, I think, like you said, sometimes when something's really well balanced, it's hard to even describe it because it doesn't have any specific characteristic that stands out so much. So to me, with this particular cigar, it's the it's the perfect pairing. It just it doesn't underwhelm, it doesn't overwhelm, and just the body, the flavor. That this was one of the three beers we used when we were actually blending the cigar. We also used Spot and Oktoberfest, and then my second selection for the evening, Sam Adams Oktoberfest, just to have a domestic that's fairly common that people would have. So those were the three we used, but the Iyinger is just it's tough to beat when you want an Oktoberfest.
So I'm going to move on to my second pairing here. I'm sad to do so. Like I said, I could really sit with this Iyinger all night, but we've got three beers, so we might as well taste them all. Now, we talked about this beer last year, and I think, Rob, you had this beer just a couple days ago, but this is a slight twist. So this is another smoked beer from Schlenkerla, from Echt Schlenkerla, but this is the Fasten beer. They call it the fasting beer. So it's almost like a smoke beer light is kind of what I'm reading on it. So it's almost like they've used half smoked malt, half non-smoked malt. And the reason it's called the fast beer is because it is in fact designed, it's brewed to come out for the time between Lent. So it's supposed to be a fasting beer between Ash Wednesday and Easter. So it's unfiltered, of course, you know, follows the Bavarian purity laws of 1516, yada, yada, yada. You know, and I haven't done any nosing on it, which I'm going to do right now, but you can see this is significantly darker than the Iyinger.
Does it have that bacon taste to it or bacon smell?
Absolutely, but it's like the frying pan of the bacon the next day if you haven't washed it. So
that's not appealing, bro.
No, it's like bacon light, right? Like it's like the hint of bacon. It's like actually, a better description would be when you pull bacon out of the fridge. So you're about to cook it. That sort of faint bacon smell.
Still doesn't smell very good.
You know,
how about it's like you somebody made bacon in the house a few hours ago, and there's still a little bit of it lingering. Maybe is that a good way to put it?
Sure,
that's a little bit more appealing than pulling raw bacon out of the fridge.
But it definitely has that bacon nose. And obviously, it's got that thick, creamy head. I mean, it's got a lot of body to it. They say it uses hops from Spalt and Hallertau. And they use 1 week of primary fermentation. This will appeal to the beer geeks out there. 1 week of primary fermentation followed by 2 months of lagering in ancient cellars underneath Bamberg. Very romantic, very cool. I just want to drink it. So I'm going to do that while you guys talk about your second pairing. Robbie, what do you got up for number two tonight?
Number two, again, I stayed domestic, and I went with the Oktoberfest beer Marzen from Bell's, Bell's Brewing in Comstock, Michigan. They don't give me too much. They don't give me a ton of info about the beer. So they call it a flavorful session beer, perfect for autumn. It spends a full 6 weeks fermenting, and you know they're going to be lagering as well because it is a lager. 5.5% lagering just means you're using lager yeast. And without going into way too much detail, and Terrence, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. Lager yeast sits on the bottom. All ale yeast is top fermenting, so lager yeast is bottom
fermenting.
Yeah, so this is this yeast sits on the bottom. It needs to be 50 degrees or below. That's why they're storing them in the caves when you're lagering, just because that particular strain of yeast is more active at that temperature. And you get anything higher than like 65, they start to die, and they really start to slow down anything higher than 50. I actually have an Oktoberfest back here, and if we wanted to, I could pull it out. You guys could look at it. I could show you inside the carboy what it's doing, but. With a beer like this, you can let it age forever. Well, not forever, but you know what I mean. You can let it age for a while. 5.5%. They say the original gravity, and this is asked to be – no, actually, that's about right. Original gravity is 1.06. 90-day shelf life, so it's going to last for a while. I saw something here on their website that this is the first time they've bottled it in about 5 years, which I didn't
I've never had it before. I've never seen it. I'm a big Bell's is hit and miss to me. Some of it I think is really great. Their two-hearted ale,
yeah,
is pretty solid. They do some really good, and then other stuff is kind of, you know, meh.
But I stumbled upon it. I don't normally get Bell's out here in California, but I went to a I was about 4 hours early for a Giants game on the last homestand. I had an appointment, and it wasn't worth going home. So I was in San Francisco with a couple hours to spare. So I drove around to a couple of different bottle shops and picked up a few things. And I saw this and I figured, perfect, I'll get it for the show. Looking at Beer Advocate, it does not have very good reviews. Although if you scroll through the reviews, the scores are all in the high threes and low fours. But the overall score is 81. So.
You know what's kind of weird though about Beer Advocate is that like they tend to like have certain styles that they really like, and like for instance the Bell's Oberon, like that has an 89, which is not, you know, an outstanding score, but for like a wheat beer, it's like a 95. So it's you kind of have to weight their scores on things, and it's kind of like cigars, you know, like you get a panel of cigar guys, a lot of times they're into heavy Nicaraguan or heavy Dominican, and something that's more mild just doesn't do well with them because it's, you know, it's lighter, but that's not necessarily a reflection of its quality. It's supposed to be light. So
yeah.
I don't know. Beer Advocate kind of hitting, because I've had stuff on there that's delicious, and then other stuff they give a bad, you know, they give a great rating, and it's like, meh.
What are you guys thinking? It's definitely darker. You can see here, if you look at the color difference here, is pretty drastic between the two. It's got a lot more of a malty body to it. Much more of a full-bodied Oktoberfest, so full-bodied, relatively speaking. So the pairing is going a little bit better, but Terrence, you have a second beer that you're jumping into, or are you still working on your first?
I do. I have the Sam Adams Oktoberfest, which, again, is kind of a staple Oktoberfest. They've been doing it for as long as I can remember. This is one of the few beers that – you know, because beers are generally pretty consistent for the most part, you know, like it's not like wine where it can vary a lot from year to year. Beer is generally, it's a little easier to keep it stable. But Sam Adams Oktoberfest, some years I think it's really good and other years I think it's okay. And it seems to vary a lot for whatever reason. This year it seems a little unbalanced. It's not bad. It's good. But it's the one problem with, especially with a lot of the U.S. Oktoberfest, is that with the hop, sometimes they hop it up too much, and they, you know, either the type of hops they use or the amount they use a little bit, or at least that's how it tastes after going with the Eyinger, which was basically perfect for an Oktoberfest. So still enjoyable, still a good beer, still good Oktoberfest, but not I'd say the best year for Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
It is kind of funny how they fluctuate like that. You wouldn't think that based on the beer process that there would be that much fluctuation.
Yeah, you want consistency year over year.
Well, but I mean, you think about
that you ever talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you think about with cigars, like to say that there's a difference between the 2015 and the 2016 of the Das Brauhaus. Absolutely, there's going to be a difference because there's a lot of different things that go into the. If we're just talking about the wrapper leaf, a lot of different things are going to go into that wrapper leaf coming to maturity. I mean, weather conditions, things like that.
Plus, you're blending solids by hand.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with wine. I mean, you talk about, well, this was a good year for, I don't know, Cabernet, and it was a bad year for Pinot or whatever. It's all weather-based and things of that nature. With beer, the process is pretty streamlined. And, I mean, your grains aren't going to change much from year to year. Your hops don't change much from year to year. I mean, unless you have to use a different hop because the one you used last time isn't available anymore, which is apparently very common. But I mean, beyond that, what's that?
No, I guess like Amarillo hops, for instance, can like, you know, come and go. And I guess overall there's been a hop shortage, I guess, with all the breweries and everything. I've heard that there's guys are having problems getting the hops they need.
Yeah.
And also, I mean,
oh, go ahead.
No. Also, this island, if you look at, which I'm a big fan of, their Bourbon County this year, they had a whole bunch of problems with bacterial infestation. So I think as you get bigger, sometimes maybe there's growing. I mean, Sam Adams has been big for a pretty long time, but you know, maybe they made more this year. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I really don't have an answer for why that is, but it's one thing I've noticed over the past few years is Sam Adams is some years better than others for their Oktoberfest.
Yeah. And even when you start talking about the Bourbon County Stout, when you're barrel aging something year to year, that's going to be different. Because you're working with different barrels, exactly. What have you. So there's a lot more variables there. And we're going too far into this, but just curious that – and I've noticed that too with some beers. It's sometimes it's like, oh, this year's version wasn't so good. So for me, and then John, we'll jump into your pairing here in a second. This is a much better pairing, this Bell's Oktoberfest. It's a little bit fuller in flavor, a little bit stronger. And you'd mentioned the hops, and I think that was one thing about that Sierra Nevada that was a little bit weird. It's a bit hoppier. It's got more of an American-style profile to it. So I would almost call these like Americanized Oktoberfest beers because they're a little bit different than the traditional stuff, but still very good. It's got a nice sweetness to it, this Bell's, and a more body to it, nice creamy mouthfeel. It's bringing out a little bit more spice, and I'm getting towards the middle here, so I mean, it's a product of where I am in the cigar as well, but a little bit more spice in the retrohale. That richness of flavor from the cigar is pairing really, really nicely with that sweet and malty flavor I'm getting from the Bell's Oktoberfest. Much better pairing than the last.
Yeah, I'm with Terrence on this one. It was really tough. I should have had the Eyinger as my last beer because, you know, it's tough to go from essentially what's a perfect pairing to something else. But I have to say this Fasten beer is really interesting because I think the smoked beer would have been too much. You know, that smoked beer is just, I mean, it's big on the nose, but the body is a little bit less, but it's still way smokier than this Fasten beer, where this Fasten beer, it's smoke light, really. So you kind of get the essence of the smoke, but it's not so overpowering in the palate, which is interesting, but the body isn't as full as, if that makes sense. I'm not getting that satisfying mouthfeel like it was in the Eyinger. So the flavor profile, interesting, mouthfeel, not quite as satisfying, but it's coming in at the right time because my 2012 Oktoberfest has kind of got a little bit of spice going on now, a little bit of earthiness. So it's actually a good time for the cigar. Maybe not, you know, in the right order, but works well right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pull back this story that I found. Yeah, Oktoberfest from Bell's returns to bottles for the first time in 5 years, and will debut in 12 packs. I don't know when this was written though. It's on their website. It's on their website, but there's no date. So
3 years ago.
As far as I know.
No, I mean, I think
it could be. I don't know.
I think it's this year because I've never seen – on the East Coast, there's a lot of Bell's, and I've never seen Bell's in Fest at all.
Okay. I mean, if you're a bit of a traditionalist with the Oktoberfest, but if you see it, I mean, give it a shot. It's very pleasant. if that makes sense. It's not overpowering. It's not too sweet. It's not too malty. It's definitely not too hoppy. It just got a real nice balance to it, like you were talking about before, of that malty sweetness in there. It's the kind of beer that you can sit back and have three or four of them, you know, if you're just hanging out watching a movie or something, which I kind of did last night with the Ballast Point, which is my next one, but we'll get into that.
Shemondra,
yeah, one of the problems a little bit.
Go ahead.
No, sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, to that point, like, there's a lot of great beers out there now, but so many things are high gravity, high ABV. And, again, you have two and you need to call Uber. So it's nice to have a beer that you can, you know, have a couple of and still, you know, be on your game.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this just kind of proves that, I mean, I love the, obviously, the high gravity, high ABV stuff, but I think it just goes to prove that you can have something with what's, you know, quote unquote sessionable. It's a reasonable ABV, but still brings a lot of body and a lot of character, and it's still satisfying. I mean, yeah, I may have two tonight, three, but it's still satisfying. And like you said, to your point, you know, I'm not that I'm calling an Uber tonight because I'm at home, fortunately, but I'd be fine. You know, it's not going to wreck me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. There's, I find that there's a lot of corollaries between beer and cigars for me. And I feel like my humidor and my beer fridge kind of mirror each other. In my humidor, I've got, you know, some middle of the road cigars, middle strength, medium strength, you know, a lot of flavor, but, you know, medium strength, medium spice, that kind of stuff where you could smoke it any time of the day. And then I've got like the bigger cigars, right? I mean, I don't really go with the Cro-Magnons and things like that, but you know, make more bigger, bolder stuff. And I look in my beer fridge and it's like, I've got really, really hoppy stuff. And then I've got barrel aged and like nothing in the middle. So sometimes it's hard to find. Sometimes it's hard to find a beer that's, that I enjoy and I can just have, you know, I can have a couple if I want without getting gooned. But there's a lot of beers in this, range of the Oktoberfest style that come out this time of year. This is one of my favorite times of year for beer.
I just want to remind the audience that you're tuning into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 84, Quesada 2.0. We are joined by our guest, Terrence Riley of Quesada. And just a reminder that the Quesada family has blended a cigar specifically to be paired with Marzen-style beers. This is the time of the year, the Oktoberfest. Check out the Quesada Oktoberfest. Ask your local B&M about it. If you can't find it at local B&M, lots of online suppliers available. They're hitting the stores right now. I'm getting emails left and right and tons of different sizes this year to try out. So there's one for everyone. Check it out. Check out your local B&M.
I picked these up from Smoke-In as the Das Brauhaus in a 5-pack. It's the only place online I could find it that had that wasn't just a box. I didn't want to buy a box of them, even though now I kind of do. But I wanted to get a 5-pack and get a taste for them and see if they were still as good as the 2015. If I could find more of those 2015s, I'd buy them in a heartbeat. That's one of those where you look back and because you didn't make a ton of these, like 500 boxes, something like that.
500 boxes. The Nicaraguans, we only make 500 boxes of each because they come in those beer style, you know, German style beer houses, and those are a pain to make.
Yeah, that's tough packaging.
Yeah, but it's that 2015 is the cigar where I look back and I kind of kick myself for not buying more than I did. So you buy it and you think, oh, this is great. I'll get some more. And oh, they'll be around. They're not always going to be around. So if it is,
you blew it.
Yeah, I did. I blew it big time. But this year, I imagine I might make a deeper investment this year because this is smoking pretty well. As John's taking a sip, that was a bad.
Sorry, I got to give some love out to Atlantic Cigar, who is kind of my supplier up here in Canada, quote unquote. And you know, even though we carry them at
and they carry Oktoberfest as well.
They carry Oktoberfest, and they've got lots of. I think they actually had the 2015 up until a few months ago. By the way, Rob.
Are you kidding me? Don't tell me that.
No,
not the Nicaraguan though. Not the Nicaraguan.
Yeah, oh, not the Nicaraguan. Okay. Yeah. Now, okay. Of course, I'd be remiss to say they're of course being a Canadian. They are in fact carried up here in Canada as well. Because I spent all day merchandising a store today. The entire time I was merchandising, I was like, boy, wouldn't it be great to be smoking an Oktoberfest today in the store while I'm merchandising? Sadly, I'm in Canada, can't do that. But I was thinking about it. I was wishing for it.
You can't smoke in the shops up there.
It's half the battle.
No, is that the rule? Absolutely not. You can smoke on the sidewalk, and you can smoke on your patio, and you can smoke in your garage, and you can smoke in your car, provided your kids are not there. But you cannot smoke in the cigar stores, no matter how many cigar stores you own.
Oh, interesting. I had no idea. So no lounges up there. That's kind
no
of
no lounges.
So I know you guys don't care. I'm just going to just pop in immediately, just real quick. There's this kid playing for the Yankees. His name's Gary Sanchez, and he's their catcher. They just called him up at the beginning of August. So he's been
– Dominican.
He's from the Dominican. He's been in the big leagues for about a month and a half. And he just hit his 19th home run.
Good on him.
He's got two today. He's homered in the last four games, and he's got two today. Every time he hits a home run, he sets a new record for being the youngest guy to hit this many home runs. Wow. He's just
– you know what?
Unreal right now. Go ahead.
About him, actually, we were approached by the one of the Yankee radio stations about, because he's Dominican, doing an advertisement where every time he hits a home run, we would promo and they would shout us out, and we're all excited about doing it. And then because it's tobacco, it turned out we couldn't do it. But every time he hits a home run, it makes me mad. we're gonna do it. But that's also one of those things where it's like, who knows how many you could have hit no home runs and nothing would have come of it, you know? But now he's hitting the cover off the ball, and we could have been getting a shout out every time, but unfortunately,
we'll give you a shout out every time, so that we've got to give you two shout outs today, because he hit two, and he's actually on my fantasy team. I'm playing for the championship this week, so I'm quite pleased with his production. But I didn't mean to bring up a soft spot. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, as Bob said, I'm gonna.
Yeah, it's funny. I had no idea. Sorry, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, as Rob normally does in cigar chatting, I'm going to reel it back to tobacco, reel it back to cigars. Dial it back in. We've got an audience question here from Harley Holmes. Harley, thanks very much. And Harley wants to know, Terrence, how many beers typically go into the research per blend when you're coming out with a new blend?
We try to, again, pick ones that people have access to. So for the Oktoberfest, when we blended it, we used Spaten Oktoberfest, which kind of has a special place in my heart, because it was the first beer that really got me into beer, many years ago. And again, that's a classic Oktoberfest. That brewery's been around since before Columbus. We use the Eyinger, and then we use the Sam Adams. So we try to use ones that people have access to throughout the country, and that are also good representations of the style of beer. So that's what we're kind of looking for. We try not to go for kind of the eclectic stuff that's, you can only get from one place at one time of the year, and it's got some sort of unusual, double dry hopping or something like that. I mean, those are great, but for this type of thing, we like to have something everyone has access to, and that something that represents the style.
Well, hopefully the Eyinger was the last one, because I feel like if you'd started with that, it'd be really tough to move on to some other style or brewery from there.
it's pretty solid, I have to say. I haven't had it since I had only one last year, during this, like, we do Oktoberfest events all over the country. We have them recently, a couple in Canada, and so I've had like nearly every Oktoberfest imaginable. So I like to try everything, but then I always come back to got you to the dance to begin with.
Exactly. Well, I'm gonna have to go back to that beer. I'm gonna have to go back to my bottle shop now that I've had this one. Maybe pick up a couple, three, four, maybe six. Just get me through the Oktoberfest season. Whatever. I'm gonna move on to my third pairing of the night, and I'm not sure how well this is gonna go, because I'm going the opposite direction from my first two beers, and this is the same brewery, but this is the Urbach. And the Urbach is really dialing all the way to the right. Every dial is turned to 10. They describe this as a full-bodied smoke bock beer. It's really for the October-December season, which for us, it's September still, but this is really like the end of October. I mean, we're expecting snow in the next couple weeks.
Wow.
We need some strong beers. So they say it's brewed in the summer. It's matured in the Bamberg cellars, but really designed to be that fall, for them, that fall beer, that you know, full-bodied fall beer, put some meat on your ribs. 6.5% ABV, 40 IBUs, 17.5% original gravity. And when I hold it up, you'll see that, because it's, I mean, you thought that second one was dark. I mean, it's hard to believe it's not a porter, because, I mean, it's about as dark brown as you can get without being a porter, really.
And, looks like a struck match.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting off the nose is I do get a lot of that, you know, that really rich smoke quality, which I've really come to love off these beers. But there's a ton of like, almost, I don't want to say charred maltiness, but like a caramelized maltiness, which is really interesting off the nose. It's like a ton of sweetness. So I'm very excited to try this. I suspect it might blow the cigar out of the water, but I'm willing to give it a chance. So, Robbie, why don't you talk about your third beer tonight?
I feel like you picked beers that would go well with the cigar that I'm smoking. So this one is actually, this one's my favorite of the night. I'm going to pour a little bit more in my glass here while I'm talking. And this is the first time I've had this, and I'd seen it around, but I'd never purchased it before. And this is the Ballast Point Dead Ringer Oktoberfest.
Oh, I can't wait to get my hands on that.
They do a few different versions of the Dead Ringer. They have one that's a Scottish red ale, and they have one that's a pumpkin ale, the pumpkin ale was not very good. I'm done with pumpkin beer, man. So this is their Oktoberfest version. 6% ABV, which seems to be pretty standard, 26 IBUs. And this is much more on that malty sweetness, caramel, toffee flavor side that I've come to love from Oktoberfest. The dog next door is going nuts. That's the style that I dig of this Oktoberfest. And this one is a little bit more malty. It's kind of one of those, it's a little bit more of a winter warmer, if you will. Nutty toasted malts, fresh baked biscuits, and a reserve hop spice. Now the hops, it does not say which hops they use, but I'm guessing that they're using some noble hops, because otherwise why they probably wouldn't be an Oktoberfest. And it's got more of a spicy hop flavor than that kind of that hoppiness that we're used to in like an IPA or something like that. It's much more traditional in that style than Sierra Nevada. But as you can see, I don't know if I showed you guys, significantly darker than the others that we've had, kind of that reddish amber color.
Yeah, it's
definitely
a pretty dark one.
Yeah, it's definitely darker, but they all have that very like really minimal head, not a lot of foam to it. Nice creamy mouthfeel. Did you have another beer, Terrence, you want to talk about?
I was going to mention one that I had the other day that was really good. It was called Portside from Cleveland, Ohio. It's a small brewery out there. But I mentioned it because I did an event out in Cleveland for Oktoberfest, just outside Cleveland at Robusto and Briar. And they had the local guy over there. And it was a traditional style. It was really good. It was as good as, you know, any of the ones out of Germany. And I was very impressed. You know, nice and fresh, great mouthfeel, very balanced. So I do not have a third one this evening, at least a different style. But I did want to mention that because I thought it was a really great pairing. Portside out of Cleveland.
Interesting. That Robusto and Briar is a great name for a shop. That's a really good name.
Yeah,
I like that. There's one that, and Gordon Biersch, I think they started in San Francisco, or I don't know. They've always been around. I don't know if they started there or not. But they're pretty national. There was a Gordon Biersch restaurant in restaurant and brewery in Washington, D.C. too. And their Marzen, they don't market it as an Oktoberfest beer, but their Marzen is really, really good. Very traditional, with a lot of flavor to it. It's got that similar body. That's one that I really enjoyed. And I was going to pick some of that one up before I found this Ballast Point. So just another one to keep an eye out for. I need to get some of the traditional ones too, like John's drinking, and revisit those. That's what I did last year, but I haven't, like the Spaten and the Anger. And there was another one that I had last year. I can't remember what the other one was, but three traditional ones that were very, very good. But John, I'm curious, man, how is that pairing going?
You know, so the beer is by far the best beer of the night. I mean, I thought it was going to be overpowering, but, you know, props to this style of beer where you can bring so much flavor and it's not like a stout. It doesn't just blow everything out of the water. It's got so much body. without being super, super strong. So think of that smoked beer, dial the smoke back, dial the malts up with a little bit of sweet character and like a charred character to them. And it's outstanding. Probably not the best pairing of the night, but in terms of, you know, it's that great mouthfeel, that Eyinger. So it's a very full mouthfeel with lots of complexity in the body. Again, doesn't necessarily do a lot for the cigar, but by far the best beer of the night for me. You know, I think so far that it's, you know, I should have left that Eyinger for the last beer of the night for pairing, because I can't recover from that. It's the perfect pairing for this cigar. And I suspect I'm going to go back and pair some of the other Casada stuff I've got, because I feel like this Eyinger is just, you know, it's a great pairing. But yeah, beer of the night is the Urbach. It's just, you got to pick it up. It's fantastic. It's now really good.
Is that the same one I had a couple weeks ago, or it's a different version?
It's a different version. So you had the Rauch beer, which is the smoked beer. And I think the Rauch beer is like the middle beer. So the Fasten beer is like the, you know, the light beer, the Rauch beer is the middle beer. And this Urbach is the sort of dial it all to the right. But again, they haven't dialed the smokiness to the right. They've got that right balance of, you know, you almost, it's actually, I think, less smoky than the Rauch beer, but it's got more of that malty character. So it's got more going on. It's almost like a Marzen meets that Rauch beer. So, cause I've actually got a little bit of spicy quality out of it. And it's just, like I said, the flavor profile of it is off the charts without being like a stout where it's just the flavor profile is so full bodied. It just, I can't taste anything else. And it's fantastic. I got to pick up some more of these for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. This Ballast Point, it's the best of the night, and it's the best pairing. I kind of figured it was going to be. Again, 6% alcohol by volume. I don't know if I mentioned that. But it's just got that rich maltiness, a little bit of sweetness. And there's, I'm getting, and I think it's the cigar is kind of bringing this out, I'm getting kind of like a stewed fruit, candied fruit kind of thing going on the end.
I love that.
Which is just a really nice finish to that. Nice creamy mouthfeel, but it's not, it's creamy, but it doesn't like coat your palate, you know? So you can't really taste anything else. It's kind of perfect. I had a few of these last night while I was watching, the wife and I are watching Penny Dreadful. We just started season 3. It's a pretty good show. I don't know if you guys have watched it. The third season, they've got, they just introduced Dracula. So, getting into that Halloween spirit, but, yeah, this pairing is going great. It's bringing out more of that body from the cigar. So it's really kind of stepped up in its body. The spice has stepped up a little bit on the retrohale too. And this is more how I remember last year's, with a little bit more of a kick to it. And the more that I get into this, the more I'm realizing this is going to be, I'm doing a top 10 this year, and this will be in there. It's going to be close to the top, because this is a really, really, really good cigar. I need to track down some of the Dominican blend, because I don't even think I smoked the Dominican blend last year either. I need to revisit that one, but this is just a phenomenal blend, man. I love this cigar.
Terrence, what's because you've got 7 different options for the 2016, I think. Uber, Bavarian, yeah. Das Boot, Kaiser Ludwig. So of the 7 for you, which has been your favorite?
You know, it's funny. Every year I kind of end up gravitating towards a certain one. This year, it's been the Das Boot. I've been smoking a lot of Das Boot. We pressed it this year. The Kaiser Ludwig is pressed as well. I'm smoking the Kaiser Ludwig tonight. But I feel there's a little bit more richness and a little bit more intensity of flavor in the Das Boot. Again, when you channel that smoke down through the torpedo end, I think that intensifies it a little bit. And I'm glad we pressed it. It made it my favorite size this year. I don't think it had previously been my favorite size, but this year it really intensified it. Actually, that's not true. The one you're smoking, 2012, it was my favorite size. But in the last couple of years, I felt that some of the other sizes had a little bit more flavor. But this year, with that press, you just, you know, with less tobacco in the filler, and you're tasting more of the ratio of wrapper to filler. And plus you're channeling that smoke through the end. That's been my favorite size this particular year.
Yeah, I love torpedoes or Bellicoso style for that. And I mean, that's usually my go-to. Corona, or a torpedo, because, and that's been my experience, is that it does do a great job of amplifying the flavors through that smaller draw. But we've talked about it on the show before. We've talked about it on Cigar Chat. We've talked about it on Sharing Our Pairings. That I'm really digging box presses, because a box press can do really interesting things. If you take a blend and then you box press it, you really do get different flavor profiles. And I'm glad to see you guys are doing box presses, because, you know, I love box press. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I feel like you get the flavor of a small ring on a bigger cigar. Just that ratio wrapper to filler, mm-hmm. is when you press it, if you have the same amount of filler, it's going to pop. So you have less filler in there for when you press it. So it gives you a bigger ring, a bigger cigar, but that intensity of flavor that you get from or a Lonsdale or something like that. So I feel it's a little bit the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and certainly, and Rob can probably speak to this more, but I tend to gravitate to really anything under 52 ring gauge, but I find that with box presses, you can, like for me, you can even go to a 56 or 58, and as long as it's box pressed, for me, it still delivers well versus, you know, if it's non-box pressed, really not my style. What's your thoughts on that, Robbie?
I'm pretty much in the same boat. The only 70 ring gauge cigar I've ever smoked was a box press, and I think it's the only way I could smoke it, because that's such a damn big cigar. That it's box press, and I mean, I can't speak to the science behind how it, and like Terrence, you were talking about the ratio of wrapper to filler and things of that nature. I can't speak to that because I'm not there, I'm not present, I'm not privy to all that information. But I just feel like certain cigars, when they're box pressed, you can get that bigger size, you get a little bit more flavor out of them. And just it's more of a comfort thing for me. I like the way that I like a trunk press, kind of like a soft box press. I think Crown Heads calls them a trunk press. That's a kind of size that press that I really like. And even on this the Das Brauhaus, this is a 60 ring gauge. It's 60, right?
Yes, yeah, 60 ring. Yep.
But it's got that little. It's a Bellicoso. I think that's what it's called. I always call it a flying pig size. I know that's not what it's called, but that's how I reference it. But it's got that, the taper at the end. So it's you can kind of see it there. I cut a little bit too much of it off, but it's just there's a comfort there. And with this blend just shines in this particular ring gauge. Not a lot of blends do, for me, shine in a larger ring gauge, but this one does. Now, I have a question for you, Terrence. Sorry. We've got a little bit of a delay.
No,
I keep talking over you. Go ahead.
No. I didn't. I apologize. I thought you were finished. Just to your point, I think also one of the things is there's two issues. One is that with bigger rings now, I think that people are blending to the size more. Whereas I think originally when bigger rings came out, it wasn't taken seriously, and they just threw in more tobacco and they said, so here's a 60 ring, here's a 65 ring, and now they're actually blending to the size. And then. With the box press, when you're blending to the size, and then you have that, you know, that better ratio of wrapper to filler, you really get some tasty stuff. We have for the Casa Magnum, taste-wise, my favorite size is we have a box pressed 6x60, and the taste on it is just incredible. And again, because it's pressed, you don't feel like, you know, you should be in sort of, you know, an adult film or something like that. So
that's a good way to put it.
So I had to mute myself. That was funny. So I have a question. While I was going through the humidor the other day, I found three of the older Oktoberfest with the same band that John has, but they're in like a petite Robusto size.
Yeah, there's that. Those could be 12 or 13s. Those would be either 12 or. Those are called the Kurz, which in German, Kurz means short. Okay. And those were we didn't make that size this year. We switched it out for the Kugel. But, yeah, we made those sizes 12, 13, 14, and 15.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that one's got a few years on it, too. I knew John was doing that. I knew I had these coming, so I wasn't going to smoke it on the show. But maybe we'll do John and I could do another one here pretty soon. But, yeah, I found three of those. They were just kind of stuck in the back. I didn't realize I had them. I was looking for a particular cigar, and you know how it is when you've got your humidor and you've got a cooler and there's stuff everywhere and you're looking for one particular cigar. It's like a needle in a stack of needles.
Yeah.
And you find a bunch of needles that you didn't even know you had. And that was, those were three. I didn't know – had I known that those were there, they would have been gone a long time ago. But, yeah, I'm glad that I found those.
So as we come to the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment, favorite beers of the night? Favorite pairing of the night, really?
I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer with this this Ballast Point, the Dead Ringer. It's funny, Terrence, to the point that you made about – I know we're up against it. I'll do it quick – that you made about Beer Advocate. This score is an 82, which comes in as good. And I'm looking at some of these scores, and the most recent score, the guy gave it a 2.8, and he says he talks about it, and he gives the write-up on it. He says, pretty much your run-of-the-mill Oktoberfest, nothing fancy about it. But that doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like the problem with both cigar ratings and with beer ratings, with any ratings, is that things have to be rated in the context of what they are. So if you have a beer, that, you know, an Imperial Stout that's, you know, 4% alcohol, well, there's a problem there because that's not an Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Or you know, conversely, if you say, I don't like the Imperial Stout, there's too much alcohol, you know, and it's 8 or 9% or something like that. Well, that's kind of – now, if you say, you know, it's on balance or something, that's different. But if you don't like it, B, that's like a meaningless rating to me. It's like you watch Schindler's List. It's like, oh, it was a great movie, but I didn't laugh. Well, you're not really supposed to laugh during that movie. So,
yeah, that doesn't take
away from it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I'm reading this guy's review, and I'm looking at it. It's like, wow, yeah, that's all the stuff I love about it. And he gives it a 2.8 or something out of 5, which, I mean, I don't know, whatever. I just found that amusing. But for me, that's hands down, that's the pair of the night. I'm halfway through my six-pack. I'll probably go through at least one more before these are off the shelves.
Terrence, what about you?
I'm going with the Eyinger. Eyinger, it was just a perfect combo, very tasty. It's unfair in a way because it's the beer we use to blend the cigar, so yeah. It had an unfair advantage. Although, then again, so did the, you know, the Sam Adams. But when you think of an Oktoberfest, I think you think of the Eyinger.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, absolutely hands down pairing of the night. Like you said, it is kind of cheating because I started out with a perfect pairing and I'm going from there. And, you know, really, you can only go down from there. Best beer of the night for me was definitely that Urbach, although definitely not the best pairing. That was my favorite beer. But yeah, that Eyinger is really hard to pass up, unfortunately. And I'm going to be revisiting that. I'll have to get my hands on some of the 2016 Oktoberfests and maybe shake things up, maybe try a couple different styles and, you know, get out of our comfort zone. Well, I'm sure we've got a few shows to go for the year before the year ends, Robbie. So I'm sure we can probably fit another one in before the year's out.
I'm into that. Yeah, I want to track down some of the more traditional stuff. I don't have to track it down. I go down to BevMo. They have all of it. But and for whatever reason, I don't know why I grabbed these. They just spoke to me. So I decided to go a little bit more new school, but the old school stuff, man, it's tough to beat that Eyinger. I remember it from last year. It was fantastic. And the Spaten as well. I mean, those are really tough to beat. They've been around for, you know, hundreds of years or whatever for a reason.
So before we wrap up,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. The guys who invent it tend to know what they're doing for
sure. Have an advantage.
Yeah, 600 exactly. Years of experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So quickly, Terrence, before we wrap up here, just tell everyone where they can find you on social media and find more about Casada Cigars.
Yeah, again, our website is CasadaCigars.com, Instagram, CasadaCigars.com, Twitter, CasadaCigars.com, and Facebook, CasadaCigars, all three are the same thing. Also, if you want to follow me, it's Terrence Riley 82 on Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime. And anyone out there who's listening and was kind enough to listen to me babble on. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Hey, we really appreciate being on the show. I'm sure we're going to have you on the show again soon. We'll try to make it a little bit sooner than next year because I know we kind of target those, you know, the keg time and the Oktoberfest time, but it's always a pleasure having you on. And I know you've got a wealth of beer knowledge and we do a lot of beer pairing. So thank you very much.
And thank you for having me.
Thanks to all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners who have sat through us for this 58 minutes. Wherever you are in the world, hope you have a chance to enjoy a Casada Oktoberfest and hope you have a chance to stay safe and hope you are entertained. As we always say in sharing our pairings, drink better, but drink less. And now we can cuss, which I kind of feel like, of course, we're still live. And Terrence, if you're up against it, we totally understand. I spent all day. I'm of course my job now is I'm in the cigar industry, and part of that job is I manage a chain of cigar stores. So we're doing our 14th store, and it'll be followed by our 15th store and our 16th store in the coming weeks. But basically spent all day merchandising and stuff. So I came home hoping that all my technology was going to work flawlessly, and yeah, sometimes
not so much
that way. Not so much.
Not so much. We got
Jupiter.
Yeah. Retrograde, man. You got to watch out for that retrograde. That will get you every time. I've said something to that effect, which it stuck in my head because she's not into that stuff. But and I'm not. I don't say that stuff like it's a bad thing. Maybe into whatever you're into, it doesn't matter to me. But yeah, she's not really into planetary signs and things. But she's mentioned it a couple of times, which I thought was interesting. So I don't know. Whatever. Maybe that's got something to do with it. Maybe it doesn't. John, are we gonna do? We got football picks, and we got to get through all that.
We got football picks. So, Terrence, if you want to participate, we'd love to have your picks for the coming week.
Patriots. Patriots all the way. I unfortunately have to get going, but it's going to be a Patriots year. I think they already got the rings engraved. You get rid of all our quarterbacks. It doesn't make any difference.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing.
Sounds about right. That sounds about right. Terrence, appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man.
Cool. So, John, I'll update you real quick on the SigFed fantasy football team.
Please do. We should have had So you saw the guy that went on a tear this week, which I can't remember if you picked him up because we were talking during the live draft, and I can't remember if you picked him up or not. But
who?
It was the Falcons receiver.
Oh yeah, somebody named Coleman. No, he was with the Browns. I didn't have any of the Falcons receivers. The big guy for me last week was Greg Olsen against my 49ers had a rather large day of 5 catches, a buck 22, and a touchdown.
That'll do.
That'll do. And everybody, you know, Roethlisberger had a good game. David Johnson had a good game. Shady McCoy was okay. A.J. Green kind of let us down a little bit with only 5 points. Alshon Jeffrey was fine. Jeremy Langford is the last time he's going to be in our starting lineup. Seahawks defense and Justin Tucker, actually, I didn't even realize this. Justin Tucker came up big time with 15 points.
I told you, man. Justin Tucker is like – last year I missed an opportunity to pick up Justin Tucker, and I regretted it all season long because there are weeks where he's putting up more points than running backs and wide receivers. Like, it's crazy.
And this was one of those weeks. He put up 15 points. I mean, and we won by 11, so there you go. But we did. We left Jarvis Landry on the bench against New England. He had 21 points. Marvin Jones on the bench against Tennessee. He had 19. So we left some points on the bench, and that's okay. SigFed is. We're still undefeated. We're the number one. We're ranked first because we scored the most points, and we're moving into next week. It's looking pretty good. We've got a couple of AJ Green. Looks like he's questionable, and Alshon Jeffrey may be questionable. But I think those guys will be fine. Although Alshon Jeffrey. A.J. Green against Denver. If he doesn't play, it might not be the end of the world because that's Denver. They've got a tough defense. But with Marvin Jones and Jarvis Landry on the bench, I picked up Tevin Coleman, the running back in Atlanta. Picked up Isaiah Crowell, the running back for the Browns, who has just been on a tear. And picked up another wide receiver from San Diego, Travis Benjamin, I think. So. With 8-team league, I mean, you can pick up a starter at any position. I picked up Matt Ryan. He's the number one quarterback after the first 2 weeks, and I picked him up off waivers like it was nothing. So it's only 8 teams, you know. But, I mean, the chances of me starting Matt Ryan over Roethlisberger aren't very high at this point. But, you know, maybe it gets to the point where they are. Although he is playing against New Orleans this week, and they give up a lot of points.
They give up a lot of points.
So maybe I will start him this week. Who knows?
So I'll give the weekly recap, which was a pretty sad recap. It's one of the worst weeks I've had in fantasy, in pick and pools, period. I don't know what to say about it. You had 8 out of 16. I had 8 out of 16. And Dave Burke from a podcast that I can't, for whatever remember the name of right at this moment.
Cigar Jukebox.
Thank you, Cigar Jukebox. This is what happens when you have three beers and a rough day. Dave is kicking our ass. Dave came out big for the week with 11 wins. Congratulations, wow. Dave. Wisely picked my Jets over the Bills.
But I got to stop picking the Bills.
You got to stop picking the Bills, bro. They're not going to have a good season. But he had the Texans over the Chiefs, which in retrospect, I should have naturally picked. Had the Giants over the Saints, which was kind of a questionable pick at the time. You know, who could have picked the Rams over the Seahawks? Seriously? Rams over the Seahawks? Come on,
bro. He picked that?
He picked that. None of us had the Rams of the Seahawks. Nobody had the Rams of the Seahawks. In my other pick and pool, it was a lock for the week. We all fell into the trap, which we called last week. I said the Raiders trap, we're going to fall into it, and we did. Lost against the Falcons. I'll go again, close game. That game could have gone either way, and no one would have saw the Vikings beating the Packers. Dave came out big for the week, 11 wins. You and I each have 8. So Dave is now beating us, even with missing the pick from the first week. Dave is now 23 for 32. I'm in second place at 19 for 32. And my friend, you are trailing at 17 for 32.
This is why I do not gamble on sports. But let's fire through it.
Roger that. So I'll try and get Dave's. Dave sent me his picks in advance here. But Dave, you got to send them in order. Go to NFL.com. Read them left to right. Because it's hard to follow, man. But first up, Thursday night, going to be a good Thursday night game. I don't know who's going to start at quarterback at this point. The Texans go to New England. Again, New England at home, tough team. But at this point, they're starting the water boy quarterback. So Texans are traveling to New England at home in New England. What do you think about that game, Robbie?
That feels like a trap game, dude.
Right?
This feels like New England could go, 15-1, and this is the one that they lose.
Yeah.
So, what the hell, man? I'm already losing. I'm going to take the Texans.
So, being an AFC East guy, you know, there are many things that I know in the world, and one of those things that I know in the world is never pick against the Patriots when they're at home, because Bill Belichick has a football mind, and it doesn't really matter if they start the water boy at home. This could end up being like a 9-10 game or a 9-12 game, but the Patriots are going to come out on top because I don't think they're going to – this is not the game they're going to drop. So I'm going to go with the Patriots, and I think our esteemed colleague out of Australia, let's see, Dave, I'm going to scroll down your list. So Dave has gone with the Texans as well this week. So we've got two Texans and a Patriots pick. So moving right on.
I'm into that. I've got nothing to lose at this point.
There you go.
I got to get some edgy picks in.
Sunday morning, the Cardinals travel to Buffalo to face off against the Bills. I don't really
cards,
see much.
We're done.
Cards
on.
Were done. Yeah. Dave has also gone with the Cards. That's a wise pick. Lock for the week. Vikings go to Carolina to face off against the Panthers. Now, I feel like that could be the trap game. Dave has picked the Panthers for the week. What say you on that
game? I'll take the Panthers, too, because, I mean, with AP out, I just don't think Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata are going to get it done. I'll go with man, I watched my 49ers like pretended like it was a game for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stopped and then they came back in the fourth quarter. So I started watching again. Cam Newton is a special, special player.
Yeah.
The rest of that team is very average. I mean, Greg Olsen, I think is a pretty good tight end, and they've got Kelvin Benjamin, or his name's Benjamin, I think, at their wide receiver, and he's a decent player. But Cam Newton is special. There's no two ways about it, and I don't care who he's throwing to. I mean, he's in that Tom Brady class where you look at the Patriots wide receivers, and it's just a bunch of little white dudes, and nobody knows who they are until they go to the Patriots and they're studs, and you think, why didn't anybody else care about these guys? Because scheme and Tom Brady, but
yeah,
I think Cam Newton is he's an MVP special player.
Yeah, he's a future Hall of Famer quarterback. I think there's no question at this point. Yeah. So moving right along for another morning game, Denver on the road, the Broncos face off against Cincinnati in Cincinnati. I'm going to look at Dave's picks while you give me your pick for that game.
That's tough. I mean, I feel like good offense or good defense beats good offense.
Okay.
I feel like they do every time. And so I want to say that Denver is going to win that game. But if Cincinnati, if AJ Green is starting and Cincinnati can get a passing game going and you know, they can protect their quarterback a little bit, I could see Cincinnati winning that game. I don't know what Cincinnati's record is even at this point. I think they're 1-1. Yeah, they are. They're 1-1. They're at home. They haven't played at home yet. This is their home opener. What the hell? I'll go with the Bengals.
I'm also going with the Bengals. I feel like I keep picking against the Broncos and they keep winning, but that's, you know, as much luck as anything because their offense has not been great. Dave is going with the Broncos, so we got a bit of a split week, which is interesting.
We got to catch up.
Got to catch up. So the Lions on the road against the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers at home. Offense has really been floundering up until now. What say you on that game?
That, to me, just on the surface, it's Green Bay at home. That's, I think you got to take, you take Green Bay at home.
So Dave has also picked the Packers at home. I'm going to just to throw a wrench in the, I'm going to go with the Lions. I feel like the Packers are on a bit of a slide and I think they're going to lose this one at home. And again, just to be the counter pick here, I'm going with the Lions in this one.
Got to do it.
Ravens on the road against Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars at home. What do you think?
I mean, the Jags are 0-2. They're bound to win a game, right?
Eventually.
And then we've got Baltimore. I think Baltimore's undefeated at this point, which is seems kind of weird. It just seems like Baltimore is the right play there, but it also kind of feels like that could be a little bit of a trap game. But I'll go with Baltimore on the road.
Yeah, I mean, no matter how much I want to pick a counter pick, I just can't pick against the Ravens. And Dave is going with the Ravens as well. So we've got Ravens across the board. So that could very well be the trap game of the week. Browns on the road. Cleveland Browns going to Miami to face off against the Dolphins.
As bad as the Dolphins are, I'm going to take the Dolphins.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I just can't. I know I hate the AFC East rivals. I got to go with the Dolphins. The Browns, just they might win a game or two this season, but it's not going to be this one. Dave is also going with the Dolphins, which, again, could be another trap game of the week, but I just can't pick. I can't pick against them.
Can't do it.
Redskins on the road against the Giants, who seemingly just can't lose games. That's, again, another morning game. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I'm looking at this, I don't know if the Redskins are any better than the Browns, the 49ers, or any of those teams that are going to win one or two. I got to go with the Giants, man. I've been picking against the Giants, I think, every week, and I got to come around on that. I'll go with the Giants this week at home.
Yeah, I'm going to follow suit because the Giants have been winning games, and I haven't been giving them credit, so I feel like they're going to win this one. Dave has also gone with the Giants, so it's a sweep across the pick lane there. Again, as we're halfway through here, if you want to participate, love to hear your picks. Surgeon@CigarFederation.com. Shoot me your picks, and I'll get them in for next week. The Oakland Raiders, we fell into the Oakland Raider trap, but could this be the big win of the week? Oakland Raiders on the road against the Tennessee Titans.
Huh. It's like the Titans are one of those teams, I just don't know what to make of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I get the Titans and the Texans confused all the time. And they're playing in Tennessee.
It's in Tennessee.
I think the Raiders have a kind of a powerful offense. I mean, they're scoring points. I'm kind of pulling up Tennessee's, and Tennessee isn't, but they're not really giving up a lot of points. So, again, I always say that defense beats offense, but then again, I picked against that this week. You know what? I think I'm going to go with the home team in this one, especially at home. Defense, I'll take the Titans.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with the Raiders. I'm going to fall into the trap again against my better judgment. I'm trying to find Dave's pick for this game, and I think he might have forgotten to send me the pick for this game. I do not see it. So, Dave, if you're listening, which I know you are, send me your pick because I do not have a pick, Raiders or Titans. I'm going to assume he's – oh, there it is. Pardon me. He's going with the Raiders. Yeah. I think he feels like he's a Raider guy. The Raiders
this is
are going all the way.
I'm picking up a game this week, baby.
Picking up a game. So your 49ers on the road against the Seahawks, who seemingly can't put anything together. You're going to go with the Seahawks.
I want to say that after two early picks that turn into six Seattle points, that at halftime Chip Kelly's going to go to Kaepernick, and Kaepernick's going to re-catch that magic in a bottle for maybe two quarters, and they could win that game. I could actually see that happening. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I think the Seahawks have been struggling a little bit. I mean, obviously they lost to the Rams, which the Rams looked like the worst team in the NFL 2 weeks ago. But I think this is a statement game for the Seahawks. They hate the 49ers. And I think it's not even going to be close.
So you're going Seahawks?
Yes.
I am going the opposite direction. I am going with your 49ers. I feel like
Boom, Seahawks, I'm picking up two games, yeah, baby.
The 49ers have been have had some offense where the Seahawks have just been anemic. They're not the team from the previous weeks or the previous year. I'm going 49ers all the way. Dave did not get his pick in for this one, so I'll have to wait for him to email me that pick. Moving on to the crap bowl, the Rams, who somehow won a game last week against their rival, against the Seahawks, and I think the Rams are like undefeated against the Seahawks. Like, I feel like they're 5-0 historically against the Seahawks, which is really weird. But anyways, the Rams are facing the Buccaneers at home, which is an interesting game.
Yeah, I don't think that the Rams have they scored a touchdown this year? I don't think they have yet.
It's all field goals.
Yeah, they lost 28-0 to the Niners, and they won 9-3. God, that must have been a boring game against the Seahawks last year. I'm gonna have to go with the Bucs at home. I don't care who their quarterback is. I don't care who their running back is. I know Doug Martin's out, but at least they've scored a touchdown. So I'm gonna go with the team that scored a touchdown. I'll take the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the Bucs again. I think the Rams win last week was just an anomaly.
Fluky.
Chargers on the road against the Colts. I don't know what to make of this game. Chargers are hot and cold. Colts are hot and cold. Colts are at home. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers have been scoring points. That's for sure. I'm going to look down here and see what the Colts have been doing because I haven't really followed them too closely.
They've scored some points, but they can't seem to pull out a win when they need to.
This feels like I'm taking the over and I'm not going to pick a winner. No, I mean, in a matchup like this, you take the home team for me. Yeah. And what is it? Indianapolis is at home.
They are.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts. It feels like it's a high scoring game. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm going to have to go in the same direction. I don't know that the Chargers can get the run game going against the Colts. I think that's really the key to the Chargers.
But they lost Danny Woodhead too.
And they lost Danny Woodhead, so I feel like that's kind of the thing to make the decider here. I'm going with the Colts as well. Dave is picking against us. He's going with the Chargers. So we'll see who's going to come out victorious. Now in the personal stakes of the week, Jets on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs, and Jets have won some games here. But the Chiefs are a tough team against the Jets. Jets on the road against the Chiefs at home.
I feel like the Chiefs are really good at home. I mean, I don't have any info to back that up. It just seems like one of the toughest places to play. So I'm going to go, and I feel like I pick the Chiefs all the time. I'm a sucker to pick the Chiefs, and I'm a sucker to pick the Bills for some reason. But I'll go with the Chiefs at home.
So normally I would look at this game and go with my head, which says you got to go with the Chiefs at home. But I feel like the Jets have won, you know, they've put up some really big points. And I feel like this is going to be one of those games where it's either going to be a super low scoring affair or it's just going to be out of control. It's going to be like both teams in the 30-point threshold. I'm going with my Jets, and Dave is getting sucked into it. He says, that one is for me. He's going with the Jets just for me. Thank you very much, Dave. Appreciate the love. Next up, Steelers on the road against the Eagles. Eagles are at home.
Ugh. I don't know what to make of either of these teams either. I mean, the Eagles they're undefeated. I don't really get it. They're averaging 29 points a game because they've scored 29 both times. And they're playing the Steelers, huh? The Steelers are just, man, up and down.
Roethlisberger's still healthy, man.
Actually, they're undefeated too.
Yeah.
This feels like it's going to be another high-scoring game, frankly. And you know what? I'm going to take the Steelers.
I am also taking the Steelers because with a healthy team, the Steelers are a very tough team to beat. If they had any injuries, any prominent injuries right now, or Roethlisberger taking any hits, I would be maybe thinking about it, but it's a no-brainer Steelers pick for me. Dave is also going with the Steelers. Moving right along, the Chicago Bears, who in my other pick and pool, we all fell into the trap of the Bears last week, and they just got stomped on the road against the Cowboys at home, and the Cowboys being at home doesn't necessarily mean anything. What do you think about that one?
I think these are two teams that I just
don't care about.
I mean, I'll go with Dallas just because I think Jay Cutler does not win football games.
He doesn't, and I'm kind of high on the Dak game right now. You know, I want to see Dak succeed as a rookie. You know, it's exciting when you see a rookie come out and try and make a name for himself. I'm going with the Cowboys. Dave is interestingly also going with the Cowboys, so that's kind of cool. And in our last game of the week, which is probably going to be the highest scoring game combined points, is the Monday Night Football. Great pick. The Bears game is the Sunday Night game, which is going to be. But the Falcons Saints on Monday Night Football could not ask for a better game. Falcons on the road, Saints at home. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, it's going to be high scoring. I would agree with that. And if it comes to it turns into a shootout, I think the Saints have the weapons to take that one home. The Saints haven't won a game. They're at home. I see the Saints winning this one.
Interesting. I'm going to go with the alternate pick here because I feel like Matt Smith, the Falcons, you know, they were kind of my go-to team last year where if I didn't know what to pick, I'd always pick the Falcons. I feel like on the road, they need to make a statement here. Saints maybe haven't been playing. They put up a lot of points, but their defense is just terrible, terrible. I'm going with the Falcons. Dave is going with the Saints. So you got two Saints and a Falcons pick. That's kind of a wrap pick of the week.
Yeah, that's I don't know. And maybe I'm still stuck in the days when they had what the hell is his name at tight end, who now plays for Seattle.
It's not Jimmy Graham, is it?
Yeah, Jimmy Graham, and they could just run up and down the field. I don't know. They've got the weapons. They're at home. They haven't won. They've got to be a little bit pissed off about that. And I just don't feel like the Falcons are really all that good. I mean, it's two offensive powerhouses just running up and down the field, and whoever scores last is going to win probably.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well just go for two on every attempt because, you know, you're probably going to put it in. So, yeah, it's highest. Like, I think the combined – I'm going to go right now. Combined points for this game is going to be over 70 points.
Yeah, take the over on this one too.
Take the over Absolutely. On this one. So this good show. Always fun having Terrence on the show. We're definitely going to have him on the show again before next year. I know we tend to have him on at the time when they have releases, but super beer guy, and he's fun to have on the show.
Yeah, we got there's other Quesada cigars that we haven't really featured. The Espana is a great smoke. That could be a fun show, I think, maybe with some Pilsners or like a Blondale, maybe Belgian Strong Blonde, something like that with that particular blend. So that could be fun, yeah.
Fantastic. So thanks everyone who tuned in for our Sharing Our Pairings live this week. If you caught it on podcast, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back. We're actually going to have a pre-record for next week because we got a lot going on. I think I'm possibly on the road for another store opening, possibly not. Everything's in the air. I know Robbie's at the ballpark next week, so a busy week. We're going to do a pre-record, but it'll be a good show. It'll be a lot of fun. We might have a special guest host.
Watch out now.
Watch
the
out now.
The soothing tones.
The soothing tones. Watch out for the soothing tones. You might want them to replace both of us, frankly. Tune in next Wednesday. It'll be a good show. And thanks very much for tuning in live for our live listeners. As we say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less.